governor, sir. He caught me infecting all sorts of things. Only I'm more inclined to believe some of them when he's concerned.
Come on, Doctor. Even in my time, the only ones who got ahead were the ones who knew when to keep things to themselves.
And you'd know that better than most, eh?
No, I never said that.
I gave my sonic screwdriver to Mrs. Sky. Hey, can you open the lock?
Do I have to?
You don't have to go in. Just open the door, and then find Mr. and Mrs. Sky and go with them.
No. I banned Moira once. I'm not going to do it again.
Throughout its near 30-year history, the Doctor Who audio dramas has had a large variety of companions, from fellow Time Lords such as Melissa and Landon, to humanoid aliens like Dylan and Tasha, and of course a plethora of assistants from Earth as well, including yours truly. The most recent to join the Doctor in his travels is Charlie Hawkins, a 19-year-old criminal exiled to Australia when he was a child. What was it like playing a companion on such a long-running show? And who is the actor behind the character? To answer those questions and many more, we have with us today Lee Sands, who played Charlie for the three stories he appeared in. Let's begin with the last question first. Who is Lee Sands? Tell us about yourself.
I guess, I live in the West Midlands in England. Live at home with my family. Largely due to the fact I've never had a decent job that can actually pay enough for a decent place to live on my own. Plus, who wants to live on their own? That means you have to do more work. Like housework. yeah, that was a terrible joke, wasn't it? Anywho, yeah. Been an amateur actor now for nearly 2 years now. Everlasting Films pretty much gave me my first paid acting role. The role of Lomandy in Tiger's Quest 3. After the quest, Tiger's Quest 3, that was it. And so I'm trying to get more paid work. It's just trying to balance the time to actually look for paid work and my actual paid job. Kind of gets in the way. I had hoped to actually use the home internet computer to actually look for some, you know, more paid acting roles, but unfortunately, because my little brothers are off as well, I've got to, you know, share it with them, and it's a bit annoying.
Is science fiction your preferred genre?
I originally got into sci-fi. Well, I guess I've always liked sci-fi. I mean, I liked all the old kids. I used to watch a lot of cartoons as a kid. I used to love watching stuff like Transformers, Jason the Wheel Warriors, Spiral Zone. I used to love watching them, and, you know, Captain Power and Soldier of the Future. I used to love watching all the old sci-fi shows as a kid. Oh yeah, and Power Rangers. Yes, that counts. Anywho. So, during a lot of my childhood, both my parents worked. So I used to spend a lot of time around my grandparents, who literally lived up the road from me. So I used to spend a lot of time around their house, and my uncle used to still live with them. And he had a very big collection, and I'm talking big. Big collection of sci-fi, ranging from Doctor Who to Star Trek to Star Cops. Yeah, and all the alien films, but he never used to let me watch them. It's a bit annoying, but oh well. So during like the half terms or summer holidays, because back then they didn't have cable satellite, a lot of the terrestrial channels like BBC and ITV, they only used to show cartoons and kids' shows at specific times, like in the mornings from, say, roughly 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. sort of thing. Good shows back then. They used to save a lot of time. Both channels will save the really good stuff, like BBC One, you had like The Boxmaster and Bucky O'Hare in the afternoon. And again, via TV, if they had like a big show, say like Reboot, which was, it used to be big for them, or the Tomorrow People remake, that was on later on in the afternoon. That was on like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. And the same again with The Boxmaster. That was like 4 o'clock. So during the day, I'd get bored. Very bored. You know, I'd read a comic. I'd play me Lego or toys or something. I'd go shopping with my grandparents. There wasn't really much to do because it was a bit of a bad neighbourhood they lived in. You've ever seen The British So Sameless? Yeah. It was kind of like that. So I never used to go outside the house much on my own, because I was very young. But so one day, me and my granddad, we raided my uncle's videos, and I think I'd watched maybe a couple of Star Wars films, and then my uncle came home from work a bit early, and he saw me watching Star Wars, and he said, "Oh, do you like that?" And I said, "Yeah, it's cool." And he said, "Oh, all right." And then I remember once I crashed around their house Saturday night. More precisely, they were babysitting me while my parents went out with friends, because back then you used to go out every Saturday night. I'm not painting a very good picture of my parents, am I? Workaholics, you know, spend no time with their son. But, they did. Mum tried to get as many days off as she could, but problem is, back then, you kind of needed both parents to work, because, let's put it this way, John Major was in charge. Enough said. It was a Tom Baker one, and K-9 was in it, and I caught the end of it. My uncle... Actually, no, it might be a case of a friend had recorded it for him, because it was originally Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. I think a friend of his had recorded it for him, and they caught the tail end of Doctor Who. I think, I'm not 100% sure, I'll have to check with him. But I do remember this story, and it had Tom Baker's Doctor in some like space station place, and he was running. K-9 was there, and K-9 like shot some war on them, load of cavemen or load of Leela type people, or like barbarian Amazon people type thing, and then they hid it behind this wall or something. That's all I remember. And I said, "What the heck was that?" And he explained, "Oh, that's Doctor Who, you might like it." So he then lent me two videos. I think the first one was Ark in Space, the one with the Wern. I'm sorry, I can never pronounce their name, you know, the insect people. And the other one was the Revenge of the Cybermen, if that's the correct title. The one where they reused the same set. It was like a similar space station, but it had been attacked by the Cybermen. And I was watching them, and I took them home with me, and I watched them that afternoon, and my dad just sat down and watched them with me. He said, "Oh, I remember Doctor Who. Tom Baker was the greatest one ever. Blah, 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 blah." Yeah, dad's a bit of a Tom Baker fan. But, so I watched them both, and I said, yeah, they were really good. I can't remember what made me ask. I think it's because I was looking through his collection, and I kept asking him, "Who's this guy?" And I remember it because it was Earthshock. And I said to my uncle, "Who's that guy next to the lad?" And my uncle said, "Oh, that's the Doctor." And I was like, "Well, I thought this guy was a Scarface Doctor." And my uncle said, no, you see, the Doctor's an alien. And my uncle had to explain this to me. He's an alien, and he has 13 lives. So every time he dies, he gets a new body. And I said to him, "Well, how many are there?" And he said, "Oh, loads and loads." And, you know, gradually I learned how long the show was on for, why it had been cancelled and all this. And actually, I think it was around 93, 94 time I started watching Doctor Who. So gradually... As soon as the kids' shows were over, I then grab a Doctor Who video. I'd pick one at random, or a lot of the time, if my uncle was on the latest shift and he would leave around 10 a.m, he would then quickly go through the videos, and you'd go, "Right, this one's good because it's got Daleks, this one's good because it's got Cybermen, this one's good because it's Peter Davison's final story," and that was scary. I was actually scared watching Caves of Androzani, because that was so dark, and it wasn't any like any other Doctor Who story I've seen before. So you leave these piles for me to try and go through, and a lot of time I only managed to get through like two, sometimes three videos. One day I went through five videos. I pretty much watched his entire collection. So yeah, as you can imagine, being a child loving all these, by the time 1996 rolled around and the Paul McGann movie came out, I must admit, I was very disappointed as a child. Looking back, it's an okay film, not great, but Paul McGann is a good Doctor.
Well, now that we know what brought you to Doctor Who itself, what about the Doctor Who audio dramas? What do you think of them?
Like I said, I used to spend a lot of time around my grandparents, and my uncle, being a sci-fi fan he was, also had a large collection of books and audiobooks. So if I wasn't watching Doctor Who, I would sometimes be listening to the radio, or to be more precise, I would listen to the Dark the Nightfall adaptation by the BBC of, you know, the Batman Nightfall. No, that's where my love for radio first started, because back then I listened to that. I listened to Star Trek audiobooks. So I guess that's where I started to develop a love for radio. I guess it's because there was no Doctor Who on the telly. I used to try and go out my way to watch the UK Gold repeat as often as I could when UK Gold did actually show on, because now they stopped it altogether, and that's a bit annoying. Gradually, I did watch other things. And then it wasn't until I went to college, and this was like after secondary school, which was a pain. It was horrible. I hated it. Sixth form was all right, but it wasn't until actually I started college again. I went to college, you see, because after sixth form, I got a job at the city council in the taxman office. I told one good friend that, and he spat on me, saying I was scum. To tell your mate you joined the tax, you're working for the taxman, essentially, the same week an old lady gets sent to jail for not paying a tax bill. Not the greatest idea I ever had, I will admit. And I was there for 8 months, and long story short, there was an extension on the contract which I didn't get, and I felt cheated. It made me feel really bad about myself, so I thought there was something wrong with me. You know, it didn't occur to me it might have something to do with the fact the other person that was interviewed's mum was conducting the interview. After I think it was like a week of job hunting, and I had no replies, I had nothing waiting on me MP45 as well, because I was going to go straight back onto Job Seekers, because there's no way I was going to spend my own money looking for work. I might as well get the Job Seekers. Anyone will tell you that. That's the thing to do. And I went. But then I started thinking, oh, maybe I should go back to college. Still young, might as well do something. And I did. I looked at a few courses. I originally tried to get into a creative writing class, but they didn't have any. So then I don't know why, I then joined the media class because they had a script writing course. And I ended up doing media for 2 years and enjoying it. And I made my own little, we all worked together to make our short films and that. And it was fun. I loved my time at college. Because during my time at college, I then started, I discovered, fan films like the Star Trek New Voyages fan series. Now, granted, they're called Phase 2 now, but back then they were New Voyages. Now, I started watching that, and I thought that was quite good. Found other stuff like Red vs. Blue, which is funny. And then eventually, I started thinking, I wonder if there's any fan audio Doctor Who's. Like, so I've heard of the audio visuals, and I heard the BBV, and so I did a few searches. And eventually, first I found Darker Projects, then I found all the other audio groups, and then eventually I found the Voice Acting Alliance, or the VAA for short. And it was when I was browsing the VAA one day, I came across the, I remember it was the Iron Legion, Doctor Who audio drama story, the Iron Legion, because it was in the Iron Legion, someone was going, how do we download this? And Lyo explained, oh, it's released one episode every week, and then you can download all four stories at the end, or order a CD. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I looked it off and I checked out the site, and it seemed okay. The only thing is, though, my home computer at the time wouldn't support RealPlayer, despite the fact I tried numerous times to put it on to the computer. But, so I couldn't actually listen to many of them at first. So a few months went by, then eventually I got the laptop, and then I downloaded all video playing programs I could find. And I then started listening to audio dramas again, and I remember listening to I had discovered the Sonic Society, and the Sonic Society were doing a Doctor Who month, and their first story was the first one they premiered was the first James K. Flynn story, Object Permanence, was it? And I listened to the first two eps, and I thought, that was quite good. That sounded really good. I listened to that, checked outside, and it was the Doctor Who audio dramas that I'd found before. And I was like, oh, flip, yeah, this is the RealPlayer one. So then I said, right, get the highest version of the best version of RealPlayer I got, put it on the laptop, download a few eps, start listening, and I quite enjoyed it. I guess you could say I tried to download one story once a month because I was also listening to MP3 stuff and I didn't have a lot of time to sit in front of my computer and listen to Real Player. It's not only that, I didn't have a credit card to order any CDs back then. And then, if I remember correctly, the audio drama, the making of, had become free download as MP3. So I was like, okay, I'll give this a go because I would like to learn more about this group's background. And I did download it. And this was around the time the casting call had been posted on VAA for Charlie Hawkins. Now, by now, I've been an amateur actor for nearly a few months now. Here we go. First role as an amateur actor was Simon Westlake in Excelsior. Then I was in episode 10 of Seminar for Pendant Audio. Then there's Pendant Shakespeare. Then Deep Within. Before Crisis, I got cancelled. So I thought, I'll give it a go, see if I like it or not. And it wasn't a big commitment, it was only like a recently three-story commitment. The three stories being, that I later found out, Equilibrium, Long Winter's Night, and Alive. The Call of Pugsy, I remember that because Lighthouse sent out an email to people saying who would like to do this. If yes, please reply ASAP, and I replied ASAP. And I remember saying, oh, I'm glad you said yes because we got something planned for Charlie. Wasn't anything big, but it was still something. And I couldn't understand why. You can then easily set it within the stories, because I think canon-wise, it's called to The Call of Pugsy. Pugsy, was that meant to be before or after Long Winter's Night, canon-wise? So I always thought it was meant to be before Long Winter's Night. Or maybe I'm getting a bit confused because of how we recorded them, because that was the second one I recorded, wasn't it? I guess one of the reasons I do enjoy working for Everlasting Films on their audio ranges, you get a bit more freedom when it comes to recording your lines. Whereas a lot of places they say, oh, record each line individually and label them individually, blah, blah, blah. With Everlasting Films, which is what I love about it, I have to record by scene. I have to record all my lines for that scene in one file and then email it. And that's what I love to do. That's what I loved the most, because that was very relaxing for me. I could do a load of takes and not have to worry about doing them individually labelled and all this. I could do all the takes I wanted. And at the same time, quite a few times, I would ask questions during my recording, like, oh, is that right? Please, if not, please let me know, blah, blah, blah. That's what I loved about doing them. And I've got to admit, I would have liked to have done more with Charlie. I will admit, more stories would have been interesting. So I'm amazed how popular he became. I thought he'd be... I was quite worried he'd become Adric 2.0 to the fans. But no, he was quite well received. A lot of people quite liked Charlie. That's what I thought was quite nice. And at the time, I was still, you know, a naive amateur actor and doing that much. I've done a few roles, but I haven't done like a great vast repertoire of roles, so to speak. I haven't done a lot. I've done quite a few, like, I played like one character for one thing for like, say, 3 to 5 episodes by that point, but not something as big as this. This is quite a big role. Charlie Hawkins is a very, to me, seemed like a big role because he was a companion. Because I remember when I got the email, because I auditioned for this role thinking, oh, hang on, because the thread had at least 2 to 4 people who had been voice actors a heck of a lot longer than I had, or at the time had been, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to get this role, why should I bother? And then I thought to myself, oh, forget it. I thought, if I audition for this role, and if I don't get it, and because the story's going to be set on a British colony in Australia, I thought, oh well, maybe I might get a part as someone else, it's better than nothing. So I auditioned, and then, to my surprise, I got the role of Charlie Hawkins. And I was like, wait, what? Because, to me, I thought these other people who auditioned, who had more experience, I thought they would get it. But no, apparently Lighthope said he wanted me, and I was like, I actually, if I remember correctly, I think I actually emailed him saying, oh, thanks you. And then went dot, dot, dot. And then I went, are you 1% sure you're emailing the right person? Because I was panicking that he might email me saying, oh, flip, sorry, I meant someone else. Or maybe this was a joke. And it wasn't. But to me, I was quite shocked I got offered the role. I was not expecting that. And I took it. I took it like that. You know. I can't clip my fingers. But I took it like that instantly. I said, yes, yes, yes. And he explained it might be like a while before I get the script. And I was like, okay, okay. And then I got the script, Requilibrium, and I looked at recording details, and I was like, oh, wow, this is brilliant. This is very... It seems like a relaxed way of acting. Because, like I said before, you don't have to worry about chopping up lines and infancy labeling them. You have a lot more room to... just solely concentrate on the acting and recording, not necessarily the whole chopping lines bit, chopping up lines part of it.
How did you feel about the individual stories? Each story has a different flavor. Each story casts your character in a different light, has you do different things, interact with different characters. How did you feel about the stories themselves?
Equilibrium was my first story. I quite liked it. I liked the finished version because it used a lot of background tracks from Sylvester McCoy era, because I used to love some of those background music, you know, the Donna, Donna, if you know what it's one that I mean. I used to love that era of background music for Doctor Who, because that's something I pick out a lot when I listen to something. I sometimes listen to the background music, and a lot of time it's a really nice little score, nice little number. Take the Ultimate Avengers films, then they're not great films, but if you listen to the background music, it's quite good. Like scenes of Captain America where it's like just him, and then you have that dun 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 dun, that little theme of his. I love that theme. I'm trying to get a hold of an MP3 of that theme because it's such a nice little theme. And you can imagine my surprise when I watch next Avengers, you know, where it's like the kids' Avengers. And when it comes to his son looking at the mask and the seal, they play that theme. I was like, that is brilliant. But back to what I was talking about. The Call of Pugsy was the second one I recorded from right. It might not have been. It might be the third one I recorded. But I remember Long Winter's Night, I had quite a lot to do. And I quite liked the story because I like the fact it was Ice Warriors, because I've always liked the design of Ice Warriors. But, you know, we all know what happened with Long Winter's Night. You know, that seems to be the story that's divided the forum for a brief time. We had Call of Pugsy, and I quite like that, because that was one giant Five Doctors-style story, and I thought it was quite well done. And then we get to Alive, which I think is a brilliant story. I love the horror aspect of it, because I love horror as well.
What in the...
Bodies! Everywhere!
They've been cut into pieces!
What is going on here?
What are in these boxes?
Can you open it?
They're body parts! Arms! Legs!
I think I'm gonna be sick!
I love to be scared, I love to watch nice, gory zombie film. You know, people getting limbs ripped off and beaten to death with them, and then, you know, the zombies eating away on the chicken drum, like, eating away at the flesh and the bone like a chicken drumstick at KFC, and, oh, I just love those films, I really do. Oh, yes, I do love a nice, gory horror film. Yes. Alive having those horror aspects and it's like a plague. I've got to admit, that would be funny. I would love to do a Doctor Who story about that, where there is a plague and then all of a sudden it turns out it is a zombie plague. Because that would be a story I would love to do. I wouldn't mind not playing Charlie in it. I would like to play a different character. Maybe someone who dies. Because I don't know what it is, but I want to play someone who dies. I want to do a story. Doesn't have to be for, like, everlasting films or... So, yeah, I know it sounds morbid, but I would like to play a character who dies. Quite horribly. You know, like in the X-Files, say, like... or decent death, like an honourable death, like... Because I've just seen a new Star Trek film, and... spoiler warning! the way George Kirk's character portrayed, I would love to play a character like that, who sacrifices himself to save the others, sort of thing. Something like that. That's the type of death I'd like to play a character. If that makes sense. Because it's not something I've done before, you know, played someone who's actually died. And the thing about Doctor Who, you have a lot of meaningless death, you know. I know it serves the plot, but, you know, you have Cybermen storming, suit up everyone, and, you know, it seems quite wasteful and meaningless. If it's like an honourable death, like, say, the regeneration of the Fifth Doctor, Sixth Doctor, he sacrificed himself to save the companion. That is the best regeneration idea ever. That is an honourable way to die. That is the best regeneration story ever, alright? I'm sorry. I just think it is. Case of Anzani is a brilliant, brilliant story.
Since regenerations always point toward the future, what does the future hold for you?
I don't know, really. At the minute, I'm working in retail again, after I lost my last job, blaming recession. I'm working in retail at a shop in a hospital at the minute. And it's not the world's greatest job. It pays the bills. Thing is, though, I don't get as much time as I used to do line. So, like when I got the script for Alive, I basically came home and gave myself like an hour to record the lines for it each night. So it's like a scene a night, basically, or two scenes a night, depending on how many lines I had to do. Because that's how I used to do the lines. So I'd write down a giant list of all the scenes my character's in. And once that scene was recorded, I'd cross it off and get it converted to MP3, etc, etc. So now I've got an 8-hour shift now, pretty much daily. I never get the same day off, really, except Wednesday evenings, because I can go to my drama class now, because I started a drama class to try and improve my acting a bit. I'm trying to also apply to one company to be an extra, just waiting back on that. Because I would like to get a bit more acting work. So I would like to get more professional work. I'd still like to do some amateur stuff. I want to get my own things done as well. Because I've got some ideas for radio plays that I'd like to do. The problem is I need to get the scripts finished, and then I've got to reteach myself editing. Because at the minute I'm just doing the podcast, and the reason why the site is called Radar Productions is originally I wanted to get my own things done, and at the time all I could think about doing to get started was a podcast. So that's why I got a mate round, we did a pilot, we enjoyed it, and then I did one with my uncle, and then I did one with my mate again, and we did another, and now it's just to what it is now. The reason there are radio plays by other people on there is I'm trying to get a bigger audience for the podcast as well as help promote their stuff as well. Because originally it used to be one odd bits, and then I started hosting the whole series of stuff like Deep Within and Chrono Trigger. I used to just get like one-offs, like say Zordic radio play, because I was in that as well, and there was not a permanent download for it. And also, what else was it? Yeah, episode one of A Night Comes, and that seems to have gone now. It's the same, because I quite like that. I started to host all that, because it was small stories, and I thought it wouldn't take much space. But now I'm going to have a look at the podcast site soon, and have a proper go through it, if that makes sense. Kind of like one of those, it's going to probably be like one of those old-time radio sites you see, like on Podomatic, where it's a different story every week. That's what we're kind of aiming for with this. Want to get more professional work? Be nice to play Doctor Who Monster for Everlasting Films, that would be nice. Look forward to the release of After the Quest 3. I've actually got my payment for that in a photo frame hanging on my wall. So my parents are dead proud of me. I've got, you know, we've never had an actor in the family apparently, so they're dead proud of me about this. And I guess that's about it. I'm mostly trying to do my own thing, trying to get a job back somewhere clerical wise, somewhere nice and quiet, because I'm really fed up with retail. You get fed up with retail.
Well, Lee, that was very interesting, and thank you for making my job as a presenter so easy. You pretty much did the interview yourself.
Oh, wait, before I forget, quick shout out to Chimera Virus, because he was the first person to actually private message me on the forum, and I got to admit, I quite liked the idea of his, because he originally planned, he said, oh, it's the same child he's only in for like these four stories. I've actually planned some ebook stories. Do you mind? He said to me. I said, that sounds cool. I'll read them.
Well, you have a fan. And I am too. You did a great job on the show. We're sorry that Charlie lasted for such a short time, and we hope to see more of you, both in Doctor Who and in future frontiers.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for enjoying, for listening to my mad ramblings, and I hope to be back very soon in a different role. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
For Sequel Chord Productions, I'm Peter Hinchman, and this has been Time Talk with Lee Sands.